This is the Church Multiplication Collective Podcast, a podcast designed to help you multiply like never before.
Hey, everybody. I'm your host, Ed Love, and I oversee the Church Multiplication Collective, which is an intentional community of Wesleyan leaders committed to discovering, developing, and deploying workers for the Lord's harvest. That's what it's all about, my friends. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you on our podcast here a 9-minute talk that was given at our Wesleyan pre-conference at Exponential 2017. And I would just want to take a moment just to let you know about Exponential East 2018 coming up soon. It'll be February 26th through March 1st, and you can find all of the information at wesleyan.org/exponential. We've got some great deals and some discounts if you register through the wesleyan.org site. So I'd love to see you there, and I want to bring you into this talk and kind of catch you up with the conversation that was started back at Exponential. So here's John West, and the title of his talk is Discipleship That Leads to Multiplication. Ready, set, go.
John West, where you at? Come on up, brother. John is the... would you like this mic?
No, I'm good.
Good with that. John is the multiplication pastor at Trinity in Indianapolis. Take us away, and John is going to be talking to us. This is the theme under the farming category. Why discipleship must lead to multiplication. And Danielle down here has the timer going on, just so you know. We're going for it.
I'm on the clock. So here we go. Hey, good morning. It's awesome to be here. Turn to the people at your table group and just say, I'm glad I'm with you in Orlando. Real quick, do it. It is really good to be here with all of you. My one regret is the fact that my wife is not able to be here with me, along with my four daughters. This is a picture of my family right here. I've got Gracie, Lauren, Claire, Natalie, that's my wife, Katie. And I look at that picture and know that my face is not photoshopped on a stock image right there. Okay, that is actually my family. It's a good-looking group right there. And in 6 weeks, I am taking these kids to Disneyland. They have never been to Disney World or Disneyland. My sister lives in Costa Mesa. So we're going to Disneyland in 6 weeks. I was looking at my itinerary and I got my itinerary confused with mine here in Orlando and found out when we fly to California, we are flying United Airlines. Now, you've all heard a lot of stuff about United Airlines. I'm a little nervous about flying United. You guys know the story, the doctor that got dragged off of the plane and all that kind of thing. But they got a new PR campaign. This is kind of cool. Take a look at this. 4 out of 5 doctors still recommend United Airlines. So that's awesome. They've even got some new accessories with United. This is a travel pillow. That's going to happen, so I'm not as worried. My kids are actually a little bit nervous. My daughter Natalie is afraid of flying. She's afraid one of the engines will go out. She actually asked me the question, Dad, what happens if one of the engines goes out in our airplane? I Googled what would happen if an engine went out. I guess I wasn't worried about that. And here's what I found. A twin-engine plane can fly perfectly well on one engine. In fact, it can even take off and land with just one engine. And so I showed her the website. I said, honey, if an engine goes out, don't worry. A plane can fly when only one engine is firing. And I began to think about this church planters conference, and I started to think about engines. And I don't know if you knew this, but you can actually plant a church exclusively with the engine of evangelism. So if you have a compelling speaker that loves the Lord, that wants to reach the lost, that wants to reach their community, it's passionate about their faith. If you create worship services that draw in lost people and you see people baptized and saved and come to Christ, you can plant a growing church with the engine of evangelism. George Whitefield was one of the most prolific evangelists the world has ever known. beginning February 17, 1739. He started a journey where very first time he preached out in the field. For the next 30 years of his life, he preached 1,000 times every year. He preached more hours a day than he slept, 6 hours a day. 80% of the American colonies heard George Whitefield in person speak once. He was the most famous face in America. He took 7 trips across the Atlantic. He sparked the Great Awakening. He once preached to 35,000 people with no amplification. People said, eyewitnesses, that you could hear him from 2 miles away. He had an incredible ministry as an evangelist. He understood the engine of evangelism. When Whitefield was 55 years old, he made a very famous statement. Maybe some of you have heard it. He said, I would rather wear out than rust out. He preached a sermon as a 55-year-old. The very next day, he died. And actually, the movement died with him. Incredible revival, but it faded away. There are no Whitefieldians today. The converts, those that came to Christ, they found their way into other churches. But you can spark somewhat of a movement or a church with the engine of evangelism. You can reach lost people with the engine of evangelism. You can plant a growing church with a passion for your community and a lot of prayer and everything else. But if you want to launch a movement, you will need 2 engines firing. You will have to have the engine of evangelism and also the engine of discipleship. And if you neglect one, you might plant a good church, but you won't see a movement. John Wesley launched a movement. He understood the engine of evangelism. He, in fact, learned it from George Whitefield back in England. He showed him how to do field preaching. Wesley used it basically his entire career. It was something that he knew needed to happen. The engine of evangelism was important, but Wesley also understood the engine of discipleship. And so when he would share his faith, he would make sure there were societies and classes and bands and discipleship happening in the process to create some structure to that. This is what Wesley wrote. Establish class meetings and form societies wherever you preach and have attentive hearers. Now check this out. For wherever we have preached without doing so, the word has been like seed by the wayside. In Wesley's view, the Great Awakening subsided largely because George Whitefield's converts did not receive adequate spiritual oversight. They weren't discipled. In fact, Wesley felt so strongly about discipleship that he would not send preachers. He would not send preachers where he could not form new societies, classes, and bands. He said to do that would be like, here's the quote, begetting children for the murderer. Whitefield launched a movement with one engine. And when he died, the movement went with him. Wesley launched a movement with 2 engines. And when he died, the spread of early American Methodism was one of the greatest church planting movements our country's ever seen. So over the last 10 years, I've had the privilege of planting 2 churches, primarily with the engine of evangelism. And we did a good job of gathering people in, and I had a heart for our community, and we reached a lot of lost people. But if I'm going to be honest with you, we did not disciple very well. And God hit me with this about 18 months ago, and he began to shift this paradigm in my mind, and now I don't think so much about planting a church. I think, what is it really going to take to spark a movement? And it will not happen if we only have one engine firing. We have to have both. Discipleship is the key to the movement part. Not so much the planting part, but the movement part, because we have to raise up workers from within. You can only recruit so many people. At some point, if we recruit everybody else, we're going to run out of fruit. And exactly what you said, we've got to raise it up, we've got to disciple, we have to develop leaders. That is so important. And so I mentioned earlier I did some research on airplane engines. And I discovered you can actually fly a plane with one engine, but let me read the rest of the quote. While a pilot can continue to fly with one engine, prolonged flight is risky. And as a precaution, the pilot would need to land at a nearby suitable airport. And unfortunately, you probably wouldn't arrive at your destination. And I thought about that in terms of our church. I want you to think about that in terms of your church and your district and this denomination. If we want to plant 25, 30, 40, 50 churches next year, I think by God's grace, with the engine of evangelism and a renewed passion, we may see that happen. I think if we want to see more lost people come to Christ, I believe through the engine of evangelism that can happen. But I think if we want to see a movement happen, we better fire up engine number two and begin to take discipleship seriously, because that is the key to creating that long-term movement. Thank you.